welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to spend a little time in your life with me. I am honored that is occurring. We're going to be looking at belief. What is belief? What are we talking about when we use the word belief? And I have some wonderful emails that have been sent to me regarding the idea of questioning our beliefs or whatever our belief is. And I hope that this program helps you. You know, it is my effort to try to serve humankind in many different ways. I do it through radio. I do it through TV. I do it through counseling. I do it through retreats, workshops, and my hospice. And it keeps me very, very busy. And I couldn't do any or all of those things if it were not for your kind support. And I want to thank my sponsors for being so generous and understanding about what it is that I'm doing, my efforts to serve humankind as I do. And I hope that there will be some of you out there who will help us also become sponsors. When you become a sponsor, you get a lot of very beautiful gifts, podcasts, videocasts, commentaries, all 122 discourses that I did on various subjects for TV programs that I've done over the years. They're very, very interesting. Trust me, they're beautiful. We're doing Cahil Gibran right now. This was a beautiful series we did many, many years ago. Worked really hard to do it and to offer it to you. And believe it or not, there aren't a lot of people that understand Gibran or what Gibran was all about. And his teachings were magnificent, just magnificent. I hope you'll go take a look at it on my website at aspire.org. So your gifts go and serve people in many different ways, inspire them, help them, direct them, and offer them the alternative to conventional religion and conventional thinking. So I hope you will consider being a sponsor. That's all. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support. And if you click on that, a drop-down menu will come. And it will tell you why support Aspire. It will tell you everything I do, where your donations go, and all the gifts you get for being a sponsor. And I hope that you will help. It would really be lovely for me one day to never have to make this kind of announcement. But our world is getting very tedious and very close-minded as people of lesser interest in love and spirit take over the planet. This is what's going on. It's part of the cycle of birth and death and birth and death. And so these little reminders that I offer you each and every week, I know they're annoying to some of you, but they're necessary, and I wouldn't be doing them if they weren't. They are what they are because of the way the world is now, and it just is the way it is. Let's go to belief, huh? Let's talk a little bit about that. First question from Andrew. He sent me a slew of questions. Greg, I don't understand what it means to believe. I don't know if I believe in anything. What is it to believe, and in what should we believe? Andrew. Andrew, I'm not here to tell you what to believe in. I'm not. I wouldn't do that. That would be foolish and assumptuous of me, and I don't want to do that to you. But to understand the nature of belief and to understand the core of it might be very helpful. Everyone, whether we know it or not, believes in something. You know, everybody believes in something. A belief is the acceptance, let's say, of something that is either true, maybe not true. It doesn't have to be true. It doesn't have to be any of that. It's the acceptance of a concept. It can be about anything you know, true or untrue, right or wrong, good or bad, it doesn't matter. All it has to do is ding us in the brain and tell us, well, that's true. And what is it that dings us in the brain and says that's true or not true? Well, it has a lot to do with the whole idea of our genetic disposition. My genetics determine what it is that I'm going to believe in. And whatever it is that I think I believe in, I can guarantee you it has nothing to do with the truth. Nothing to do with it. People need belief, Andrew, because they don't know what they are. They only know the who of who they think they are. They don't know what they are. And because they don't know what they are, the essence of what lives inside them, they suffer grievously with the idea of wanting to be more and have more and get more and believe in more and think that more is better. You're not probably happy with being Andrew. I mean, look at it for a moment. How happy can you be being Andrew? How happy? How insightful can you be being an Andrew? Same thing with me. How happy can the Gregory be? Well, if you really look at it and you get down to the nitty-gritty, not that happy. Happiness depends on what he gets, what he has, what other people think, the shoring up of his defects, as I like to call it, where I believe that if I have this or that or not this or not that, that I have shored up my defects and they won't be so bad. So we start to live in this kind of demise, and it is a demise, a personal demise, and we start losing our essence, our meaning, our substance in this world. And before you know it, all we believe in is what we can think. When a Jesus or a Buddha talk about the idea of belief, especially when they are using a language that we don't understand, and when they are living in a life that we don't live in anymore because that was hundreds and hundreds of years ago, we miss the meaning. When Jesus uses the word belief, he is talking about something that we don't relate to. It isn't confidence. It has nothing to do with that. It isn't a mental or emotional thing. A belief in that day and age was a perception. It wasn't an opinionated perception. It was just basic perception inside. If you have the belief of a mustard seed, Jesus said, you could move mountains. But he wasn't talking about physical mountains. He never moved a mountain. Buddha never moved a mountain. We take these masters way too literally, so we miss what it is that they're really talking about. No, when he was talking about the faith of a mustard seed and having the belief, if you believe the child will be healed, a story about the Roman centurion's servant who came to Jesus because his daughter was sick, dying. And he said, don't you believe? And he said, yes, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. A very beautiful way to say it. Help thou my unbelief. The soldier wanted to believe, but he couldn't. It was perception. He wanted the perception that the child could be healed, but he didn't have it. He was fighting with the mind that was always saying right, wrong, good, bad, the literal mind. And that's always an issue with us. Jesus told him to go home that the child was healed. The Roman soldier had no belief. He wanted to have it. He had no perception. perception is based on the idea of what I think I see in the physical world, the physical matter. But there are laws and principles beyond the physical, beyond material matter, that live right here on this earthly plane, but we can't see it because we have lived in the obsession and compulsion of our emotionality, which has become our perception. So we can't see it. But when you sit back, Andrew, and you let go of everything that your perceptions report to you, the good, the bad, the right, the wrong, when you can sit back and just let those go, you will have a different perception. It is called belief or faith. And you can have that at any moment, at any time in your life. And it can be extremely beautiful. But until you're willing and ready for all of that, nothing more can happen except what you see happening, which is my perceptions tell me this is possible, this is not. This is right, this is not right. And those perceptions are the guiding principles of our life. And whether or not you have the insight to see through eyes of deep belief and faith depend not on your mental state or whether or not you're in a tribe of Christianity or religiosity or whatever it is that, you know, people get involved in. It isn't about that at all. It's about coming to that very beautiful and sacred place where love exceeds thought. Love exceeds the morality of right and wrong, good and bad, where love exceeds whatever it is my mind can function in as a concept. And very few people can do that or are willing to do that. They're just not. It's just the way it is. Seeing is believing. I hope that helps, Andrew. You had some good questions, and I'll get to them all, I promise you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Mike in, where is this? In Texas. Can we use affirmations to build belief? I believe I can, Mike. I believe I can. You know, your question is cute because I found it intriguing. You're asking the question about what you're doing, and you're saying you believe in what you're doing, yet you're questioning what you're doing. So the answer probably is no. You're building the boat and drilling holes in it at the same time. I'm not an affirmation guy, okay? I was born and raised in Unity, and it was all about affirmations and denials. Emily Cady's work, I think it's just trying to change your genealogy, trying to change the human mind to make it more adaptable to the things that it wants to think. You have to understand your reasoning, your thinking are based in genetic nature. Those genetics are in your physical body. And in your physical body, these genetics are seeping all over everywhere, doing what they do, taking over your mind, your body, your health, everything, your perceptions, the whole deal. So if you think in your mind, Mike, you can change that with a few words and as people would say in the 60s, 70s, reprogram your mind. I have some land I'd like to sell you in the middle of the ocean. I think you might find that a really great investment. I think it's insane. When I was a kid, I really worked at it. I really did. And I had my affirmations and all of my things in my room, and I would go over them and over them and over them and try to implant them in my brain. And yada da yada da, and it never worked. I swear to you, people, not one single thing ever happened that I wanted. And I stayed with it. Maxwell Maltz. I remember that book, Think and Grow Rich, and all of that stuff that people liked. It never worked. So what happened for me, Mike, is that I started to realize it isn't the things that I want. I am already predestined to have the experience I'm going to have here in this world via my karma and via the way I use my mind through my genetic nature. It is already done. It's there. It's not a thing I'm going to be able to do about it. I have to transcend it. I can't change it. I must transcend it. And if I do transcend it, it doesn't matter what fates I may meet in this world. Maybe I'm not supposed to be rich. Maybe I'm not supposed to be happy. Yeah, how about that? Maybe happiness and wealth and whatever else, you know, old Gregory thinks he wants are not the cards for him, because he's supposed to do something different, something higher, transcend all of this, rigmarole. Anything you get, Mike, on this planet is subject to decay and someone taking it away from you, or it being eventually without value. It's called impermanence. We are under the law of impermanence. And whether we like it or not, this is the law we live in. Now, whether or not you're going to live in that law and be conscious of it and start to allow it to help you along with the unfoldment of your inner heart is up to you. The greatest treasure you have, you can't affirm or deny. It is your spiritual heart. It is the authentic throb of love inside you. It is the way this whole planet and the bigger picture of the universe works. But until I am ready to see it for what it is and my place in this world, I am constantly going to be fighting and fighting and fighting for my survival, for the things I want, for the things I believe in. And I'm, what do they say, pissing against the wind by doing that, because the fates of your own life are already in place. It would be best to understand what those fates were. It would be better, in my opinion, to see what it is that made all of this possible. Why am I here? What is the bigger picture beyond my comfort, security, and the things that I want that I think are more important than my entire life? Now, that would be something worth living for, something worth seeing the bigger picture. And once you see that, then there's all sorts of things that can happen and will happen. And all of those things are extremely beautiful and meaningful. But they can't be, as long as you and I are living the life we're living, where we desire and have ambition and pride and vanity, and we're only living in the things we can get and the things we want and the things that pleasure us. So for me, to try to change the old Gregory seems like an uphill battle and very useless, unnecessary. To explore my relationship with Gregory and what he's really all about, based in his psychology, his physiology, his biology, and then to come to a place where I put consciousness first. No matter what we do, no matter what we do, unless we have a sense of consciousness, all of this just looks like fol-de-rol. I mean, look at what we're doing to the planet, doing to ourselves, doing to each other. Where do you think this comes from? Ignorance, arrogance, and ignorance. And you put the two together and you have a very dangerous quality and quantity in you of energy. And it's used improperly, not to mingle with the cycles of this world, but to try to have something better than. And everybody thinks, well, there's nothing wrong with trying to better yourself. Well, what is a better self? Really, what is that? How do you imagine that? Typically, it's about me, 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 the great American opera. All we care about is what we have, what we get, what we are going to derive out of any given thing. So where's the good in that? Tell me. Oh, it's good for you, maybe. But what if the good you want isn't good for others and the world? Well, too bad, huh? You know? I want four kids. I don't care what it's going to do to the world and the overpopulation. I don't care. I want four kids. I want another baby. I want another this. I want another that. Well, it's my freedom, my will. I can do that because you're a breeder and because you think in terms of the whole mess of thinking that a brood of people are going to make you proud. Make you a better look at how big our family is. Really? You mean there's a more of you? Jeez. Read the newspaper, honey, and or sir, and find out, you know. Anyway, there's your affirmation thing. You want to affirm yourself? Really? Take a look at it. I've never found that it worked, Mike, for me. I'm not interested in it. I'm interested in transcendence. So I'd be knocking on the wrong door if I did all that. I've already been there, done that. Hope you can forgive me, Mike. Please forgive me. Namaste. I know, not a very popular opinion. I understand. Believe me, I do. The last one comes from James, and he lives in Cincinnati, Ohio. Can belief be faith? I'm confused, James. It's really the other way around. Can faith become belief? It's an interesting thing. You already have faith, okay? You have the faith that probably the sun will rise in the morning and set in the evening, and that's about as far as it goes. The belief in that is that you trust in that process because in trusting in it, you get to exist a little longer here on Earth, and that's the way we are, and that's as far as it goes. Faith is an interesting thing. It is an established place inside of us where the goodness of our heart becomes the mercy of our life. The goodness is the faith. The mercy is the belief. And if goodness and mercy can live through you, live as you, then something beautiful can happen beyond the concept and the rationale of a mind that is only looking for states of survival. And you can do that. Anyone can do that. It's all about seeing the bigger picture of it all and wanting love to fill your heart beyond the idea of emotionality. Sometimes I'll be sitting in my office working and this overwhelming sense of goodness just fills me to the brim and overflow. I don't know where it comes from. I have no idea. I don't even care. I'm just grateful for it. That is faith. Something greater than the old Gregory comes in and goes into motion and sets into motion a feeling that is beyond emotionality, that is not emotion, that is just pure love. And when a person starts to feel that, and you can feel that, James, then something of the other shore, the goodness of this whole universe, is filling you. Don't be concerned with words, faith, belief, all that stuff. Don't be concerned with any of that. Focus on the method, the meditation. If you meditate, you have found the method to love, and you found the way to love, and you have found love itself. And don't be worried about any other thing other than that. Once you understand that and you get involved in that, where you're in the process of your own inner awakening, words drop away, and the thing that is most important rises and you start to feel the essence of your life, the meaning of it. It's very beautiful. I got to get out of here. Thank you so much, James, for your question. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I'll be back on the air next week. I hope you will join me. Have a wonderful weekend. And once again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.